said, this is a one another church. It is an interesting study. You might want to do this in your small group one day, or as a personal or family study that really gets you into the spirit of what the church can be and should be. Search every time the scripture uses the phrase one another. You will be shocked. It permeates the Bible, and for good reason. God wants to work with us as a community and in community. No lone rangers. I know it's popular to say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. I'm sorry, that's not an option. The church is married to Jesus. You have to have them both. There is only one book written in the Bible to an individual, the book of Philemon. And it was telling him, form a community with the one that used to be your slave. He is now your brother. Opposing this sense of community is our Western heritage. And third world tribalism will also do it. Like the Jews in the time of Samuel, we demand a king. And that poisonous desire has choked churches and choked nations. We do not need a king. We have a king. His name is Christ. The early founders of our particular religious tribe came from Scotland and Northern Ireland. And I'd like to apologize for what they brought with them. They didn't mean to bring it with them. We don't mean to bring our prejudices and preconceptions. We just do, unaware. They modeled church leadership on the examples that they knew, the Kirk, the Scottish church. That separated the elders from the congregation. And the elders would march into a room to make the decisions for the church, then come out and make the pronouncements. We don't see that in Scripture. They also had a way of finding elders in Scotland, and that was go to the deacons. When in Scripture, the gift set of deacons and elders is very different. Deacons are often treated as if they're a farm team for the eldership, and they are not. Deacons, you're not going up to become an elder. You're not going down to be an elder. These are all jobs that we do. These are all important jobs, but they're different. Because we'd set up a model of ministry that removed pastoral care from the church and gave it to the professional clergy, the elders and the staff, we quickly overwhelmed ourselves. And people leave churches feeling, I haven't been cared for. I haven't been loved. Nobody notices when I'm there or when I'm gone. And often they're correct, because the church leaves that to the professionals. We can't do that. A friend of mine came into my office. He was also my executive minister at that time. And he had an idea. What if we create a farm team for the eldership? What if we create a group of people that are already pastoral, already loving, ordain them, teach them, train them to care for one another and truly be a one another church? We prayed about this for years and came up with the concept of pastoral care ministers. That's a phrase you're going to hear a lot today and from now on. Pastoral care ministers. We brought this idea to our shepherds here, who enthusiastically and unanimously embraced the proposal. Then we began to pray and pray and pray. I call it praying to the surface. Who among us is God calling to be one of these ministers? This being Fourth Avenue, we came up with a lot more names than we would in most churches. I've done this a lot. I've done this in several churches. I've gone to train other churches and help them do it. A church our size can expect to get about 20 to 24 names prayed to the surface. We had almost 60. And nothing we could do in the prayers would eliminate it. God was very open about who he wanted. God has blessed this church so much to bring these people here for such a time as this. This is a critical time in our history as a nation, as a state, but mainly as a kingdom. Why not let the new restoration start here? Why not let the new movement begin here? I cannot tell you the number of times in the last 4 months I've woken up in the middle of the night, not able to go back to sleep, talking to God about, are you sure? All of these families coming here to place membership, all of this pastoral care stuff, are you sure? He's sure. He's getting us ready to care for the sheep and to bring other sheep into this fold. I'm going to announce the names of those that were prayed to the surface. In case you're wondering, this is not a surprise to them. We told them. Now, here's what's going to happen. And by the way, staff, if I get any of this wrong, please correct me, because you do, and you're good at it, and you do it right. When I call these names, I'm going to ask for you to stand where you are, unless you're right by an aisle. If you're right by an aisle, step into the aisle. And the reason is, in a bit, we want to gather around you and pray. But if you're in the middle, you don't need to do anything else but stand. These are those who have met with us, prayed with us, and accepted the calling of God to become pastoral care ministers. We have Christopher and Starla Atkinson. If you would stand. We have Chris and Joe Barnhill, who are not with us today because they're doing pastoral care ministry. An employee's wife needs surgery. They said, we need to go. And we said, yes, you do. So remain standing, if you would. Carl and Nancy Boffman. And who couldn't see that coming? Kyle and Nadine Bills. Benny and Jean Blackwell, Andrea and Finn Breland, Ron and Sue Brinker, Bob and Glenda Brown, Alice and Graham Burcham, Keith and Brenda Crow. I just keep wanting to grin and make comments. I love these people. Stacy and Steve DeSoto, Ken and Leanne Fowler, Jason and Rebecca Gregg, Steve and Vicki Helgeson. We get to even work more now, Steve. More opportunities for teasing. Bill and Beth Hewitt, Zach and Kristen Hauser, Frank and Linda Hutton, Tom and Deb Irvin, Corita and Ken Knopp, Kevin and Marcia Cook, Belinda and George Miller, Dale and Jane Nord, Chase and Sarah Oser, I think is how I'm supposed to pronounce your name. Ezer? Thank you. See, I need help. I need therapy. Gary and Gina Rogers, Mike and Paula Shenick, Gary and Rebecca Stanley, Mike and Jenny Webb, Stephanie and Terry White. I want you just to look at these people. They are you. They are members here just like you. They are among you. They love you. They have stepped up saying, we'll go visit them if they're sick. If they've lost a job. If there's a family crisis, if there's a spiritual need, we love our fellow brothers and sisters. We'll step up and go there. We'll take care of them. Help us to ordain them in their new roles as servants among us, pastors, caregivers, and lovers of our souls. Would you please stand and move closer? I have asked Lauren to come to help read a prayer of ordination. After that statement of ordination, there will be a prayer by our beloved brother Albert. and then by a wonderful shepherd who has also decided to help with the pastoral care ministry, our brother Alan Gentry. But first, the commissioning prayer. Arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation.
Arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom.
Arise today through God's strength to pilot you, God's might to uphold you, God's wisdom to guide you, God's eye to look before you, God's ear to hear you, God's word to speak for you, God's hand to guard you, God's way to lie before you, God's shield to protect you, God's host to save you.
Christ with you, Christ before you, Christ behind you, Christ in you, Christ beneath you, Christ above you, Christ on your right, Christ on your left, Christ when you lie down, Christ when you sit down, Christ when you rise.
Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of you, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of you, Christ in every eye that sees you, Christ in every ear that hears you, arise today. Brother Albert, would you please offer a prayer, followed by Brother Gentry.
Holy God, Reverend Father, for 65 years, you allowed me to serve in ministry, and I've never seen a day like this in your church, which we love. This is so much in order. It is so right. But God, from the very beginning, you realized that the men and women you created needed reminders. They needed they needed markers. They needed memorials. It might have been a pile of stones on the west side of the Jordan, or a gold snake on a pole, or it could have been the stone of Ebenezer showing them that God was with them, or the cross of Calvary. Father, for nearly 200 years, soon this church will celebrate its bicentennial birthday. Some of us here now probably will not be here at that time, but many of the younger ones will be. And let them remember this day as a marker, as a time when a new opportunity of service was afforded, was given. And Lord, we thank you that in the years of this church, there have been many great and wonderful markers. And as I often walk by the pictures of the ministers over here that for nearly 200 years, serve this very church on this property. And so you've honored it, and we pray that we will honor you even further. Holy Father, you refuse nothing to your servants who refuse you nothing. Father, thank you for making yourself present to mankind in the humanity of Jesus Christ. And all we do to serve here places us in your presence, and may each of these receive a deeper welcome of the mystery of God in them as the result of the door through which they're walking. Father, in this hour, we are anointing these for your service, and may they come to know you better in ministering to others, even beyond what they each one of them already has done and is doing. It's in the holy name of Jesus Christ that I offer this prayer, and amen.
Amen.
Father God, what a great day. What a great day. The angels are jumping and just a resounding sound in this community as these people are ordained, that they go out into this community. And dear God, I want to pray for everybody else that's got their hands on these folks right now, that that power and that example get into them as we're going to be a mighty force in this community. Dear God, as we've already sung today, we're beneath the wings and that shadow of you over this congregation right now. What a day in history. What a day in history of this church. And we give it all the glory and praise to you, dear God, as these people have been here and are ready to serve you in a mighty, mighty way. Because you always have the terms of being Christ-like, being like Jesus, all those kind of terms. Dear God, here they are. And we send them out as we become a caring, loving, one another church in this community, that everybody will know that Christ lives in us and that we are his hands and we are his feet. And all the congregation, in Jesus Christ's holy name, says, Amen.
While you are standing, I'm going to offer a prayer with my eyes open. You can keep yours open as well, thanking God for the elements of the communion, and then you'll be dismissed to one of the tables, front, back, or above. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the assembly of your people, for your body, for the body of Christ given. We are thankful that you've given us the bread to remember the body, the juice to remember the blood, and each other to remember the community of God. Let us remember Christ and remember each other as we come to table. In the name of Jesus, the whole church says, Amen. Amen. God bless.